referred to as the old reservation, which is around from Saroki or the Bear Tooth Range now.
He didn't just by any chance happen to mention the name of the site.
No, there was no site referred to. He just stated that this was unusual. A buffalo jumped in itself, and there was no name attached to it. Just people knew about it. He didn't know of any name, but he said he could locate it if he saw it where it was.
Do you remember about when it was that he told you that?
This was back in the 1950s.
He didn't mention where it was from Absurki.
No, he just referred to that general area. He didn't make any specific mention where the area was located.
Well, it might possibly be that that's what we now call the Keel Buffalo Jump, which has archaeological site number 24ST401, which... was used to call in the early days something about like this, where the buffalo jumped off. But we aren't positive that the Keel Buffalo Jump and where the buffalo jumped off are the identical site, but it...
Well, the word where the buffalo jumped off is the word used to designate buffalo jump, so this is why. They would use that name and then mention the general area.
I see. So that name doesn't necessarily apply to just one place, but probably would apply to all buffalo.
Right.
Well, in the early days of my old Indian people, you know, we were set here in 1859. And prior to that time, our Indian people depended altogether on the buffalo hunt. And the last buffalo that was killed, there were seven of them located over here, about 20 miles west of here. And they got all six of them, and the last one they got in about 1869. That's the last buffalo killed on this reservation, just out of town here, a little ways, about a mile and a half. And in the earlier days, 200 years ago, you've noticed valley going down here between here and Pittstown. Well, that was known as the Gate of the Buffalo. In the late fall, November, December, all these potholes out across here were just full of buffalo. And those things would freeze up and there wasn't any water. They'd get together by the thousands to come down and through here because right down in there there were springs in that Missouri River. They'd stampede down in there and many of them had got grounded down in there. And even here, not too many years ago, my wife was down there along the mat and walking, and I was sitting outside smoking a cigar, and pretty soon a man came down from the rooming house up there. And he asked me, he said, "Say, mister," he said, "you live here?" And I said, "Yes, I do." He said, what do you call this place out here? They call it Monument Hill. You notice that hill out here. And I said, in the early days, that was known as a lookout for buffalo game for the Indian people. And I said those Indian people they had a regular program. No one private Indian would go out and kill a buffalo unless they went together. And I said this old chief had his various lieutenants, and he would send them out to locate these buffaloes from these various lookout points. And wherever they located those buffalo, well, then they'd have a meeting there. He'd come back and make his report. They'd have a meeting there. Then they'd go out as a unit and try to surround those buffaloes and get all of them. And then they would camp. They'd move their camp up there on the ground. And then they would set up some fucking poles about like that, you know, and then put some across that way. They'd cut up all this meat in pieces about that thick, probably 8-10 feet long, and hang them over these poles and let them dry. Let that meat dry. There was no flies. There was no potato bugs, even during my time. And we didn't have flies until these white fellas come here. Anyway, those Indian people would take this meat after it was cured, and they'd go down to the river, pretty close there, and they'd cut this hay there. I saw some of that that bottom grass just this morning. It grows about so high.
About 3 feet high?
Yeah. All of that. Some of it right along the road going down to Greenwood. They cut that with their knives. They didn't have anything else. They cut that with their knives and lay it to one side, and then they'd cut the top of this ground out in sections about like that. And they lay that over to one side. And they'd dig up this earth, and the Indian women would put it in their dresses and haul it over to the river and empty it into the river. They'd dig a pit there, possibly 3-4 feet across and maybe 5 or 6 foot deep. And they'd put a layer of this straw down there and a layer of this dry meat so it wouldn't touch one another. And they'd put another layer of grass, so on until they filled it all up. And then they'd kind of tamp that down a little bit and put some more hay on the top. And then they'd go get this tops of the grass there and a box of dirt, and they'd place that just the way they took it out. And they'd go over there so far away and they'd blaze a tree. And they'd camp and move on to the next buffalo hunting stop. In the meantime, these lookout fellas would be on duty going out there trying to locate more buffalo. So then when fall comes, the farthest away they got from this section of the world here, we take for instance, then they'd move down to their first cache. When they'd run, they was right close to the river where they could get water and wood and set their camp. They slept right on the ground. They were healthy. Old Grandma Whitetower down here to Marty, lived to be 100 years old. By golly, you know, she didn't have any gray hair. Huh. And she's the one that gave me all of this history, because she was a pretty progressive old Indian lady, and she knew the Indian ways and all that stuff, and she gave me that history, because we stayed with her 4 years and took care of her before she died. So that's why I got a lot of that history. And it's very valuable and interesting to me.
Well, tell me some more.
Yeah, whenever that cast run out, they'd move down to the next one. So on down the line, and then spring had come, and they'd go back out on the green grass, or they'd go out on their buffalo hunts and do the same thing again. That buffalo meat would, and then some of the older people, they would station them along the Missouri River, where they had access to the river water and wood and plenty of stuff to eat. Then they would spade up a little piece of and
well, I'll tell the story about the porcupine and the buffalo. It's a creek. And one side of that creek was standing a porcupine on his hind legs. It looked so green. Across the other side of the creek, and so he just danced around there. He was wishing green. He was across the creek on the greener side. He said, "Okay, got down, McCartney." He nods. Ho, nods. That means that I was across the creek, wishing and wishing. He was dancing around, and oh. Sudden, there's a buffalo coming on the other side of the creek. The big buffalo was coming to drink the water. And the porcupine was kind of tricky. He could trick people, you know. And so he could holler to these other buffalo. And he said, "Okay, Quark, and so this buffalo looked over and said, "What are you saying?" I said, "I'm wishing I could go across the creek on the greener side. I want to swim across, but I can't. I'll get drowned." "Well, I'll come across," he said. "Then you can, and then we'll plan how I'll haul you across." And so he swam across this river, this creek, and he stopped before the porcupine. "You can get on my back," he said, "and hang on, then I'll swim across back to where you want to go." I said, "Oh, brother, that sounds so good, but I'm afraid the water will go across your back and take me along to the creek and get drowned." Well, he said, get on my head and hold both my horns. Then you'll be safe. Yes, that's nice, but do the same thing, I'm afraid. Well, what shall we do, he said? Well, you can get in my back rear if you want to. Get inside me. That's where. I'd do that, he said. Brother, you're so good. I'd do it, he said. So he pulled all his porcupine back like that. He crawled inside. and laid there. So the buffalo swam back to the other side of the creek. And when he got there, his porcupine was the real bad. He pulled out, spread out his porcupine like that inside him. So he went around like that and he died. He fell down and died. And then he came out and took out his knife. I don't know where he got his knife. But he took his knife and began to butcher that buffalo. And when he got through with butchering the buffalo, he took some of the meat and there was a branch that was hanging over the creek above the water. This porcupine hauled some of the meat and hung it on the branches of the creek. After a while, there was a coyote coming along with the little pup. And the puppies were so hungry. They looked into the creek and they saw the meat, the shadow, or whatever you call it, in the water. Oh, my mother, there's meat in the river. I think I'll go and get one. I'm so hungry. One of the puppies jumped in there and he lifted off and got drowned. And the next one, until all of the puppies were gone, and so the coyote went along the river, she was crying. Oh, my puppies. They were so hungry, and they wanted some of the meat. And all of them are drowned. She was crying, and this porcupine was on that branch all that time. Here are you, coyote. You can have a piece of this meat. And she threw it down. So then she took that piece of meat, and she started to cry. Kept going down the creek, but they were all drowned. She didn't have any puppies to feed them without me. That's the end of the story.